Hi there, and welcome to this, the, 25th episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
Together, we're moving forward. And welcome to, this is our first episode for the month of March, and this is Multiple Sclerosis Awareness Month. Happy MS Awareness Month, dear.
Oh, thank you. Happy MS Awareness Month to you. So I have a question for you, my darling Dan Digman.
Please.
Does MS define you?
It depends.
Oh, tough question.
You like how I dodged that one?
I like that. You're often walking the fence. So tell me more. Why does it depend?
Well, and this is what we will talk about today, is whether or not MS defines you. Does MS define us? Does MS define you, Jennifer Digman? I'm not talking in circles to try and come up with.
I feel you're buying a little time. That was a tough question. I didn't warn you I was going to ask you that.
Lower it. Those are the things, and we will dig into this as we talk further about the impact and why we do MS Awareness Month, why we do advocacy and everything, and whether MS defines me. And I would say it depends. You like how I did that?
I do. I think that that's a skill, how you can circle.
See? I don't think it does, which is weird to say because honestly, I work full time, eight hours a day, 8 to 5, whatever, however you want to call it. But then come nighttime, I'm doing multiple sclerosis, much like what we're doing right now, spending the evening after we do dinner, getting in and recording a podcast. And so I want to say, and as we have commented and talked in the past, it's like MS does not define us, but I think we are redefining what MS can be. And so I think a lot of times in terms of like public outward appearance, everything I do for the podcast, for the blog, for everything else, the advocacy, that's MS in my life, and that's my choice. So in that sense, I don't think MS defines me. Was that a good enough answer?
I think it was, but not to put you on the spot, which is what I tend to do. You got a little uncomfortable when I asked you, does MS define you? And so not that this is like a session or something, a little therapy session, but why?
Right, because I'm sitting on an ottoman and not laying on my back and spilling my guts out to you.
That's true, girl. But I'm just curious. It makes me a little uncomfortable to think of multiple sclerosis defining me as it made you uncomfortable. So why is that?
But I haven't outwardly asked you said question, comma, love of my life. So I will ask Jennifer, does MS define you?
Sadly, yes. I really think that's, I think it's an easy way. I don't think it defines me, but it defines a pretty significant portion of me. Because when you say, oh, she has MS, that answers a lot of questions. Why is she in a wheelchair? Why is she not working 40 hours a week at a normal job? Why can't she go on a cruise at the drop of a hat? Or why does it take her 30 minutes to use the bathroom? Or why are your showers 2 hours long? I mean, I have multiple sclerosis, and so in that way, I think it doesn't define me. That's a difficult question I ask you, Dan, and now you turn around and did it to me. But I do think it sums up a lot of me. But I like what you said, that I'm rewriting the definition.
And you're making it your own, and I think that's the impact when we talk about MS and just with it being a snowflake disease and how it affects everybody differently. And so it's like, you know, on some levels, it's like, does MS define each and every one of the nearly 1 million Americans with it living with MS and then what, 2.3 million worldwide? I think each and every one of us is defining MS on our own levels and what it can look like. And I think that there's a lot that I do have done, have accomplished. I don't credit multiple sclerosis because it's my work, it's my doing. But it's like, I welcome, you know, I brought that in, you know, or I'm making that my own. It's, I'm trying to think, you know, analogies. It's like, I went to Wartburg College. I graduated from Wartburg, earned that degree and stuff. Does Wartburg define me? No, but by the same token, that's part of me, and I will wear that forever alumni badge. So does Wartburg, the fact that I graduated from Wartburg, define who I am? No, but a lot of the stuff that I'm doing is because of Wartburg. So of course, I will embrace that part. Granted, I had the choice to attend Wartburg, but at the same time, it doesn't define me, but it's part of who I am.
Yeah, and with that example in mind, none of us had a choice to get multiple sclerosis. So I see that, and people are so much more complex than just being defined by one thing. You know, it would be like defining an onion because it smells, or define an onion because it makes you cry, or define an onion because it adds flavor to food. There's so much more, and I thought of an onion just because there's so many layers.
Nice.
And that's a person living with multiple sclerosis. Yes, it's a really easy way to define someone. Oh yeah, she's the girl that's got the MS. But that's interesting, and I think it's really appropriate because it is MS Awareness Month, and because we are doing a lot with multiple sclerosis at this present time, having just had public policy conference like you were talking about, the fact that we're meeting with our legislators in the next few days and few weeks to talk about issues that are important to the MS community. So, that's interesting.
What do you, I guess in terms of saying you don't want MS to define you, it's like, what do you hope people see then when they see Jennifer Digman? If they don't see multiple sclerosis, what do you want them to see?
I want them to see that I'm a fun person who enjoys life, who enjoys her husband, her marriage, her friends, her family, who likes animals, who just... I guess, yeah, I want people to see me as more than just multiple sclerosis or more than just as a girl with brown hair or a woman in a wheelchair. And so I guess in the simplest terms, we need to cut ourselves slack and we can't be defined in one simple way.
And that's what I love about your onion analogy. And what we will do, I mean, we'll venture and continue this conversation, but we will talk about the issues that we talked about at public policy and talk about then how you in listener land can get involved with advocacy and become one with us and strengthen your voice, thereby then strengthening our voice. But we'll talk about PPC, why that's important, and why Multiple Sclerosis Awareness Month is important on so many levels. So we'll continue the conversation. It's a public policy conference with the National MS Society, just in terms of like advocating for ourselves before legislators on issues that are like of top priority for people in the MS community. And we joined, gosh, there was like more than 400 activists on the virtual conference. every year, so we have these issues, we learn, we get, and it's so empowering to do the advocacy, being with other activists there for the one mission or same mission, moving forward, talking to legislators in terms of taking action to make life better for people living with multiple sclerosis. And so this year, when we go and meet with our congressmen, congresswomen, senators at the federal level, there are two issues that we are talking about this year, and they're really important. And Jennifer, what's yours? Because you're going to take on one, I'll take on the other.
I think the issue that's pretty important to me, and it's been important, Dan and I have advocated for a number of years, and we consistently ask our senators, our congressmen and women, to increase the funding for the multiple sclerosis research program at the Department of Defense. And that's basically asking Congress, members of Congress, to support the funding that allows for research that will make a change for people living with multiple sclerosis.
And that's the first issue. And the other issue that we talked about that I will dig into will be the request to prioritize policies to make insurance and prescription drug prices more affordable and accessible for people living with multiple sclerosis. And these are major issues. And we will have details and background on both of these issues in the liner notes on our website at acoupletakesonms.com. We'll have there, and that way you can get involved and have a solid voice in advocating for people with multiple sclerosis. So let me ask you this, Jennifer, can you dig in? What does the CDMRP and that bill or your advocacy work deal with on that one?
We're just talking about the fact that research needs to be done for people living with multiple sclerosis, and that there's a link between a number of people in the military that are diagnosed with MS. And then for that reason, you know, it's at the Department of Defense. What is the link? Why are people being diagnosed with MS? But also, you know, this legislation, this pipeline of money that's directed towards research, this is solely for multiple sclerosis research. And this is a pretty like, I don't really giggle. I think I giggle because it seems so basic to me. But this is a pretty big disease, and it needs funding. You know, for me personally, I haven't walked in May of 2022. It will be 20 years since I took a step, since I was able to walk on my own, and I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis at 23 years old. And less than 5 years later, I can no longer walk. Well, it's been this long, and we have researched medications to lessen the severity and increase, you know, decrease the number of exacerbations and attacks that the disease can cause. But we need that research to continue so that someday we might be able to find a way to restore the myelin that is damaged with our disease. Or just something to hopefully find out the reason that we have multiple sclerosis or what triggered it. So that's why this research, this funding, we're asking Congress to fund $22 million in fiscal year 2023 for this research. And it's very important to me. So Dan, what about your piece of legislation is so important to you?
Well, I will echo your sentiment that as far as the research for multiple sclerosis is huge. And in terms of, you know, part of what you talked about, like medication and everything, one of the downsides of that, as we're seeing and living with multiple sclerosis, is the cost of the medicines for treating the MS to lessen the severity of the flare-ups and the frequency of said flare-ups. And this is the number that from the National MS Society in this report that this year the median annual price of MS disease modifying therapies is close to $94,000 a year. And that's up nearly $25,000 since 2015. And that's a huge chunk. And how do we get those costs under control? And this is an issue that we have brought up, I want to say, pretty much since we started advocating 7-8 years ago, that just the price of MS medicine, because it's so astronomical, to talk about ways to make it just more affordable in terms of like implementing an out-of-pocket cap on drug costs and Medicare Part D and other things to like limit the drug price increase by enacting rebates if prices rise faster than inflation. I mean, just to keep this stuff. So, I mean, because we want to have medicine that can help us, but it has to be something that's affordable that we can do. And so this is what we're going to talk about. We actually have a meeting set with a legislative aide for our senator, Senator Gary Peters, set for Thursday of this week. And then we also have calls out. We're getting things set up to speak with teams, the staff for Senator Debbie Stabenow, and then our Congressman John Molinar, just to have these conversations to say, how can we work with you and can we count on you to help us with these legislations?
And it is so very important. Advocacy can be a slightly intimidating word. And advocacy, as Dan and I have talked about before, can be simple things. For example, I couldn't go to church and in my wheelchair and get to a curb cut easily. I had to drive quite a distance. So I advocated as far as I said to the pastor of our church, wouldn't it be amazing if there was a curb cut over here? And bless Pastor Dana, she said, bam, we can make it happen. And within the week, there was a curb cut. So that's advocacy. Or you can reach out to the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, for example, and say, I'm interested in getting my voice heard, sharing my story about life with MS, or I'm a caregiver for a spouse or a child with MS. People need to hear our realities so they know they have our voices in their head when they're passing legislation for astronomical drug prices, for example. So I think advocacy is just sharing your story, speaking up for yourself, and knowing that there are people in this MS community that can no longer speak for themselves or that feel comfortable doing it. So if you have a voice and you feel powerful and want to share your story or want to get your voice heard, this is a fantastic way to do it. And if you feel like the disease has taken things from you and you start to feel weak, use your voice, share it, you'll feel stronger.
And this is where we always talk about encouraging people to be your own best advocate, because it's the reality is nobody knows your story better than you. And as we talked about the snowflake and just how all these voices, everybody's involved. And it's just like making your voice heard. And it's like, and it is so empowering to know that you're doing what you can to make an impact, to make a difference. And it's just like, just the whole tree thing. And if a tree falls in the woods and nobody's there to hear it, doesn't make a noise. Well, it's just like, if you want to have things happen or change, if you don't speak up, is it ever going to change? And I think that's what's so empowering with the public policy conference or anything with activism and everything. You've got a team as whole, everybody who's involved in this. It's like, you're not by yourself. You're not going it alone. Much like with the disease, if you open yourself up and stay involved, you're going to have the power of the people to help you through and to make a difference. And the more voices, the louder it resonates. And so this is why we get involved in advocacy. And this is why we're encouraging you to go to our website, find the documents about this, and you'll see just really how easy advocacy is. And don't be intimidated by your elected officials. I mean, on many levels, they work for you. And so it's like, how can you connect with them? And really, we always say that it's not the bills themselves that have the weight. It's going to be the stories that come from the people who are affected by the realities of what this legislation is trying to change.
In past years, Dan and I had the opportunity to meet our fellow advocates in Washington, D.C. to legislate and to talk about these issues. And what was so empowering was that the color orange is associated with the National MS Society, or just multiple sclerosis in general. So here we are in Washington, D.C. in the Capitol, and you see volunteers everywhere advocating, wearing orange, getting their orange out, and it's so powerful. You can be walking past a stranger, but if that person's wearing orange, you almost want to like wink at them and say, I get you, you know, we're together. And so the orange is really important and appropriate because it's MS Awareness Month. And Dan and I have advocated in the past in small ways. Like we said, you know, we'll take orange treat somewhere to a county office, or we will take orange treats to our church, or tell our friends wear orange something, just so it increases awareness about multiple sclerosis. And so small gestures like that, get your orange out. And, you know, we're having a meeting with our ANCAN support group, ANCAN MS support group, at the end of March. And everyone who's going to be there hopefully will be wearing some sort of orange to increase the awareness and increase the community, because together we have so much strength and our voices are strong. And just a simple gesture like putting on an orange tie or an orange scarf really makes you feel like you're part of something.
As part of something, part of a powerful community. And I guess that's the notion or the question I have then as we talk about, and that's what I think is beautiful, is that the public policy conference and all this advocacy is happening in the heart of Multiple Sclerosis Awareness Month, to which then I will ask you, because you put me on the spot at the beginning, so turnabout's fair play, come on my love, but why is something like Multiple Sclerosis Awareness Month so important?
I think MS awareness is so important because no one knows what we're going through. And it's interesting because there are other diseases and other conditions that people live with, and maybe they're not as vocal as we are. But I think sharing our story, talking about what we're going through, makes it more approachable. I know that it can be a little jarring if you're not used to seeing people in wheelchairs. And the first time you may see me, it may make you a little uncomfortable. And that's why I think awareness is so important, just so you can get to know your brethren, your other people in the community. And I've often joked to you, Dan, that I am going to talk about multiple sclerosis so much so that people will cure the disease just to shut me up. So I think that that's why advocating and advocacy awareness is so important, because nearly a million Americans are living with this disease, this chronic, progressive, crazy disease of the central nervous system it makes such an impact. I mean, it's every fiber of our being. You know, we have multiple sclerosis, and so I think it's worthy of being talked about. It's just the reality that I live with. But how about you now? What about the question to yourself?
I think that MS Awareness Month is just, it's so important because it gives us a built-in and natural reason to speak about it unapologetically. That it's like, I mean, granted, we with our blog, with our podcast, with writing and everything, we're not quiet about it the rest of the year, but this is something where I'm unabashedly speaking, talking, encouraging, educating. I think that's a big thing, is when I was first diagnosed, I didn't know that much about multiple sclerosis, and I was really scared. I mean, and those are things, it's not an easy disease. It is scary. It is challenging. It is a lot of work, but it's just like, I want to like educate people so they're not as scared, or they at least know there's resources. They know more about the disease before it takes over their life.
And I think that that knowledge is powerful, and everything is so much less frightening when you know about it. And yes, I am in a wheelchair and I am not able to walk. But Dan, you're still walking and you're still working, because MS is a tricky little disease that treats every single one of us differently. And so when I meet a newly diagnosed person, I am quick to say, even though I have a great life, I met my husband, I married my husband, did a lot of things, I was very lucky that I was able, and I am able to keep going as much as I do. But I don't want to scare people in the beginning. Everyone takes a different path with this disease. So I think awareness is so important, especially this month. But, you know, there's 11 more months of the year. So again, I'm not going to shut up about multiple sclerosis.
And so then everything's coming back full circle, and we can either take a break or hit it head on. But it is just a question then, does MS define you?
Absolutely. And I am writing the definition. How about you?
It is. I don't credit MS, but I credit the support I've gotten since I was diagnosed 22 years ago to be able to do this, to where I'm making trips to Washington, D.C., where I've spoken nationwide, where we've written a book, where we've done this, where we have a podcast, have a website. It's not, you know, it's because of MS, because I have MS, but that was my choice. And so does it define me? To a point, but not, I don't know, I'll own it. I mean, because you take MS away, if MS was cured, I wouldn't know what to do with myself. Is that bad to say? I mean, certainly I would love to have that moment where I wouldn't know what to do with myself because I don't have a disease to keep me busy. But at the same time, it's like making the most. And I think just where we talk about the pivoting, just that we were going to make French toast over the weekend. And after I get all the eggs and stuff mixed up, it's only then that you realize, oh my gosh, the back end of the loaf of bread is green. Call it what it was. I mean, it was moldy. And so it's like, what are we going to do? Well, it's like, let's make pancakes. We don't have any pancake mix. And then it's just like, I've never made pancakes from scratch, but we looked up, we found the recipe. And it sounds so elementary, I guess. But it's just that we made pancakes from scratch. And never once did we think that we were going to make pancakes from scratch that day. We're having French toast, but it's like taking that moment. And so it's really, and we had some of the best pancakes I ever had. And it's just like, I think of MS then as the moldy green bread. It's just like, or you know, that we were going to have, it's like you have your whole life planned out, or you think you know what's going to happen. But then I hit, you know, 27 years old, I get diagnosed with MS. That, you know, all of a sudden, my life would look like moldy green bread. And now it's just like I had all these other opportunities now, because you look and you find other things to make and you pivot. So I think it's that pivoting that helps keep things fresh and keep us moving forward.
And it's so appropriate that I'm married to a writer, because I think and just keep making revisions. And that's what keeps us going, is we just keep redefining what multiple sclerosis is, and we just refine and redefine the disease. And so if you want to say that MS defines me, I think I'm okay with that.
Exactly. You rewrite, or you find a different ending. You're just like, you call an audible, you know, you change. It's different. How are you going to make it fit your life? How are you going to live your life in spite of it? So we will take a break, and then we will come back with our moments of joy.
It seems so appropriate that I say that I can revise and edit and change my story as being defined by multiple sclerosis. And my moment of joy this week was simply that I was able to get a book on Audible, because I don't have the strength in my arms to hold a book as much as I used to. And so I have books on Audible, books on recorded. And I found this book that was in just so different than something I would normally listen to when I was listening. And it got to about the halfway point. I was unsure that I wanted to keep listening. I don't want to say I was losing interest, but it just, the story was kind of, I don't know, it just didn't sit well with me. And then I put it on and I was listening today, and I was honestly making out loud noises like, no way, don't do that. No, no, that's bad choice. You know, I'm like talking to the book's author, trying to put myself in, like, you can hear me, you can change it. Kind of like when you talk to the television. I don't know if you do that or if that's just a wacky Dan and Jennifer thing. But so I was listening to the book and I stopped with maybe 40 minutes left, and I'm so excited to hear the end of this book. And that was my moment of joy. Just something simple, like taking time for myself, self-care, and just listening to a book. And I was so impressed by that. So something simple for me. What about your moment of joy, Dan?
I'd say it's probably pretty much as simple. It came when we, just last week for Ash Wednesday, we went to Ash Wednesday service at church. Usually the thing after church on Ash Wednesday is we, you know, we'll go out for dinner with our friends, you know. And so we were going in and thinking, oh, there's like two restaurants right next to church. And we're like, we're going to go to one of those. And we're like trying to figure out which is our favorite of the two that we're going to go to. And when we find our friends and they're just like, you know, oh, we're going out to this other restaurant that's halfway across town. I was just like, oh my God, I don't want to have to drive all the way over to the other side of town to do that.
And not to make you sound like an old fuddy-duddy or something, but you know, it's kind of late. It's like 7 o'clock. It's snowy because it's Michigan. And we were just tired. You had worked all day. And we were both thinking, oh, but we were just going to go like a couple blocks away. And now we have to drive across town. But we, you know, you looked at me and you had that fire in your eyes like, ooh, I really would enjoy some Mexican food tonight. It will be so worth it.
And that was my moment of joy. It's just like, because we hadn't been there since before the pandemic. And it is, you know, probably hands down my favorite restaurant in town, but not in the middle of winter when it's late and I'm cold and everything. But it was like, you know, after we ate, it was just like great time with our friends. Delicious food, and you forget how delicious and how much you enjoyed that restaurant. So that was a huge moment of joy that I was able to rekindle love affair with a restaurant. So what are we doing for dinner this weekend, dear?
I'm not sure, but I will say this with certainty. There is another voice on our podcast that we haven't heard from in far too long. And I think a joyful moment for me would be to have our podcast producer, Ryan, chime in. And I'm sure he will do that. It's just COVID and Michigan cold weather. And we just, you know, there's reasons, but he will be here and it will be joyful. So Ryan, we miss you. And thank you to everyone who's been listening with us tonight. We really appreciate it. And just,
thanks for joining us.
And once again, I'm Jennifer Digman.
And I'm Dan Digman.
He's walking.
She's rolling.
But together, we're moving forward.
Take care. We hope you enjoyed our podcast, and please tell others about it.
Be sure to subscribe today and share your review to let us know how we're doing and what you want us to talk about on future episodes.
And if you have something to contribute to the episode, questions, comments, concerns, you can email me, Ryan. The producer is actomspodcast@gmail.com.
And you can follow us on our blog, acoupletakesonms.com, or on Twitter @coupletakesonms. Until next time, take care and keep moving forward.